are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, August 11th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. Oh, it's casual Friday, but of course, in this era, can you ever be fully casual again? No, says Kelly. Nevertheless, joining us for this casual Friday, Cliff Schechter will be here via the telephone. Also, surely not to be too terribly casual about her feelings on the ongoing Trump administration, Judy Gold will be with us.
Nice.
Via phone.
Nice.
Meanwhile, Trump doubles down on North Korea. What could possibly be the end game? And coincidentally, Robert Mueller squeezing Manafort. China tells North Korea, you're on your own, but also tells the United States, if you strike first, we will stop you. As South Korea and U.S. will stage their already planned military exercises later this month. And if that wasn't enough, 2016, hottest year on record. Congratulations, folks. Congress now running out of time on the debt ceiling. And the White House at war with, among other nations, cultural Marxism, ladies and gentlemen. There are worker shortages in California on the farms as ICE continues to destroy families. And Andrew Cuomo's 2020 dreams really, really need to die. And ladies and gentlemen, we've hit peak conservative aggrievement. It's now been achieved with pictures of the Statue of Liberty. All this and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. Really don't know. Cliff and I will talk about North Korea, so I don't want to get too much into that. But really is, I've had to text my daughter today, who is now freaking out because of the potential for World War III. And I don't know. I'll talk more about that with Cliff. But it's, it's tough to provide. All I could think of was the last time I tried to comfort her. I said, there's no way Donald Trump is going to win. And I don't know if I necessarily believed that then. And I don't necessarily believe it now if I was to tell you there wasn't going to be World War III. But we should mention, because we haven't really covered this as much. I mean, I've top-lined it. But there seems to be a full-court press on Paul Manafort right now. And it seems not only it seems to be fairly broad. In other words, it's not just potential financial irregularities that have a direct bearing on the Trump campaign. There were pre-existing investigations of Manafort before Robert Mueller came aboard, ones that came out of the Southern District of New York's office. And in recent weeks, it was reported by Bloomberg that Mueller's team of investigators have sent subpoenas to global banks for account information and records of transactions involving Manafort and some of his companies, as well as those of his longtime business partner, Rick Gates. Special counsel has also reached out to other business associates, including Manafort's son-in-law and Ukrainian oligarch. And in a Ukrainian oligarch, according to one of the people who provided information to Bloomberg. And on Thursday, Manafort spokesperson announced he was retaining a new law firm, Miller and Chevalier. To replace Wilmer Hale. Wilmer Hale's attorney that he had was a specialist in congressional investigations. At Miller Chevalier, his new attorneys are criminal defense attorneys with an expertise in financial crimes. So, you know, coming from a family of lawyers, I don't begrudge anybody for getting legal representation, but it just gives you a sense of his state of mind as to what he's going to need going forward.
That's what he said. That's what I said. That's obviously what our position is.
There you go. And this switch comes after the FBI raided his home last week. There's also reports that apparently congressional investigators want to talk to Donald Trump's personal secretary. There is a theory floating around out there that Mueller's plan is to get Manafort on a range of criminal activities and then say, here's your option, sir. Federal penitentiary, or you start telling us a little bit more about your former boss. And there's also, you know, one piece of commentary that I read that, you know, I mentioned only because it has stuck with me. I mean, at this point, there's no doubt that if Mueller wanted to get Donald Trump's tax returns, he could. And maybe he already has them. You know, I imagine it, to the extent that we hear leaks coming out of, if we do, out of Mueller's team, it's when they want us to hear the leaks. So they very well could have the tax returns. And, you know, I've been thinking about the tax returns lately as to why, like, you know, the IRS has been looking at the tax returns. And they're quite expert, I would imagine, at looking at these things. And if there were improprieties there, they probably would have found them. Maybe just the fact that he was, maybe it's just that he's not, doesn't have the money, he says, and it's, so it's just embarrassing, but it's not illegal. Maybe to the extent that they found any discrepancies or issues over the years, maybe there were other agencies. I mean, I'm only saying this in the sense that, like, Felix Sater, right, we know is an asset of the CIA and the FBI. There, I mean, this is not in dispute. Loretta Lynch wrote a letter on his behalf. Maybe there was sort of like discrepancies that were basically investigations into those were shut down. Because they somehow involved the CIA or FBI out of different offices doing various things. Who knows? I mean, Sater worked for Trump. If he wanted to get some resources and to track that those resources, maybe that's a good way to send it somewhere. Maybe with the anti-terrorism stuff. I don't know. But one thing I read was that often in cases that both involve national security and criminal investigators, that they may find something out that via national security apparatus that they don't want to expose that they have this apparatus. And so then they spend the rest of the time trying to reprove it through other means. So who knows? But that just stuck with me. Meanwhile, maybe doing Haze last night, tonight. Oh, I got bumped. I was going to do Hardball last night. Got bumped.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, no, he doesn't have me on when he's hosting.
Sater's getting bumped. Buck Sater, I bump him at the last minute.
But fortunately.
Oh, my God, Melania. Jesus Christ, that revelation.
Fortunately, I did not, I didn't shave before I got the word. I will shave when I head home today because Milo's got a recital. It's in the city, so if I get called, I got to be fully shaven. How do I shave? Well, you know. Do I need to even tell you this? It's Harry's. You know, for decades, there has been one big razor company, not going to say the name, not going to say it. He also ruined the Patriots, that guy, Victor Kaya. Has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of its customers. So two ordinary guys, Jeff and Andy, real names, they were fed up with getting ripped off. They started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry's knew there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own blade factory. They take less profit, and they sell directly to you over the internet, so they can offer the blades at half the price, just $2 a blade, compared to the four or more you'll pay at the drugstore. It has been so long since I bought one of those crappy razors from the drugstore. If you had told me they don't even sell them there anymore, I'd believe you. You know what I love about Harry's? The fact that I don't have to go and buy those crappy razors at the drugstore anymore. I like the look of the handle. And I was very excited about the narrower shave head so that I could do a little more precision work around the nostrils. Yep. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades. They're giving you a trial set for free. Just cover shipping. Your free trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. That's a $13 value for you to try. Stop messing around and get started shaving with Harry's today by claiming your free trial offer. $13 value for free. You just cover shipping to get your free trial set, including razor handle, 5 blade cartridge, and shave gel. Go to harrys.com/majority report right now. That's harrys.com/majority report. I'm going to take a quick break. What's that? Oh, yeah. Just a reminder, Trademark BS, or the Michael Brooks Show, as some people call it.
Or too much BS.
Is...
I want it to be the most BS.
The mostest BS, is now available via iTunes, the free version of that program. So make sure you head over to iTunes, sign up, get the feed, as we call it in the biz.
Write a review.
The podcast.
You'd be so kind.
Feed. Yeah, write a review. And while you're over there in iTunes, give a review for the Majority Report, too. Good. It's a double shot. Once you open up that thing, you might as well
just knock out a couple. There's already two. What are they? Already two 5-star
reviews. Already 2 5-star reviews. People loving it so far.
People have been saying great
things. I'm going to go on and I'm going to review it with 5 stars, and no one's holding me hostage, and I didn't lose a bet.
Second bet won.
Kelly loves it on her own accord.
Kelly loves it of her own accord. Also, thank you for the first $4.93 on Patreon. The post game is already up, and then on Sunday, the Third Way History Primer is set to go and will be released for members. So thanks, everybody.
I look forward to that.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Cliff Schechter. We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, there was a simpler time where Fridays were actually a little bit more casual, a little bit more, I want to say lackadaisical, but they were certainly a little bit more carefree. Now, each week, it's a different form of anxiety that we have. And many of you have commented how you have found the only thing that soothes that anxiety at the end of the week is the dulcet tunes or tones of Jimmy Reefercake singing this little ditty.
Cliff Shackdown, Libertas LLC. New media, public relations, and strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Shackdown, LibertasLLC.com.
Hello, Cliff. How are you?
Hello, Sam. Or as Jeff Lord would say, Sieg Heil.
Yes, Sieg Heil. Oh, yes. We won't have Jeff Lord to kick around anymore. Although, to be honest with you, I think the fact that I hadn't thought about Jeff Lord in several months suggests to me that CNN was looking to get rid of some extra baggage and decided to misinterpret his little joke as opposed to all the other, you know, more, I think,
the things he really said,
repulsive,
like Donald
things.
Trump being the Martin Luther King of healthcare. I
like
that one. Crafty.
Yeah. I mean, and he said a lot of like really repugnant things about race and whatnot. So,
He just was such a, I mean, the thing is too, he just was a waste of space. I mean, it, you know, there's only so many people who can go on and theoretically help people understand politics. I know they're not really out to do that. Zucker isn't, but, and you know, it's like, there was no point in watching the guy because he made no sense and he just was going to defend anything Trump did ever. It was just so stupid. But, you know, CNN has chosen to go that path in some ways. Maybe they're making up for it now. I don't know.
Well,
they're
not making up for it.
It's fun to see him get fired. Well, yeah, they've got a long way to go, but it's fun to, you know, even if they're trying, but it's fun to see him get fired just because he's kind of an a-hole. So we can enjoy that.
Yes. He made a lot of money being basically a mouthpiece for Donald Trump. But I guess when Donald Trump, you stopped hearing him say, like, I like what Jeffrey Lord's doing. And so that was the problem. All right. Well, let's move on to the other more pressing problem. And that is that Donald Trump has doubled down on his North Korea rhetoric.
He's locked and loaded now.
He is locked and loaded, according to his Twitter feed. And, you know,
does he basically just get all of his lines towards North Korea from Lethal Weapon movies?
Well, it's possible.
It kind of feels that way, or Die Hard, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's... You know, and it's unclear whether or not he's off the reservation. I mean, there is definitely people in the White House who are telling him this is the way to go and that this is the way to win. Now, it's unclear to me what constitutes winning. If they actually think that North Korea is going to give up its nukes to the extent that they have them at this point. And I have to say this, you know, I was publicly in favor of intervention in Libya. I was not for regime change, but I was in favor of bombing to protect people in Benghazi when the UN had voted that there was an imminent threat of mass slaughter. And, you know, I think lesson learned, but what really is in clear focus now is that if you are Kim Jong-un, and you see what happened to Muammar Gaddafi after he gave up his nuclear program. 3 years later, he's gone. There's no way you, as a rational, you know, a rational human being, or even if you're slightly irrational and you're just able to tie your shoes, could come to the conclusion like the best thing for me to do is to give up my nukes. That's not going
to
happen.
You're just rational enough to want to live. I mean, that's really the base level of rationality you need. Because we did the same thing with Saddam Hussein, who was starting to let inspectors in, and then we went and ended his existence. If you're any of these guys, you know, why would you? No, the motivation would be to build up more nukes. Frankly, that's what we've done with the last two Republican administrations. And let's throw in what happened with Obama, too. I mean, you know, I don't think it's right away you can say I was wrong. You know, those are situations that are much harder to figure out. You know, when it's civil wars and there's nothing we can do about it between two groups, that's a different story. When there is an armed group, a militia or military, you know, who are descending upon a civilian population to commit genocide or mass murder of some sort, you do kind of want to prevent that, right? I mean, we are supposed to be human beings.
Particularly, so, I mean, for me,
not easy.
For me, it was that the UN voted on it, right? There's no, I think, objective standard for something like that, where you don't have parties who don't have an interest in it. And, you know, to have the entire Security Council vote in that way, I think was a boost for internationalism, but they went beyond the mandate. But I mean, look, the bottom line is that is the lesson learned there. And it's clear there are people in the White House who are telling Donald Trump that there's some way to win this. And here's one of them. This is Sebastian Gorka, the guy who was a Breitbart contributor 7 months ago, and that was basically the pinnacle of his career. And here he is in an interview with the BBC, clearly at war with Rex Tillerson and God knows who else in the administration that's advocating dialing back the rhetoric.
Right.
What must the trigger be? General Mattis seemed to be suggesting that American action would come in the event of a North Korean attack rather than out of the blue. Sebastian Gorka is deputy assistant to the president on the line to Washington. I asked him what the red line was that the North Koreans could not cross.
You should listen to the president. The idea that Secretary Tillerson is going to discuss military matters is simply nonsensical. It is the job of Secretary Mattis, as Secretary of Defense, to talk about the military options. And he has done so unequivocally today. He said, woe betide anyone who militarily challenges the United States. And that is his portfolio. That is his mandate. Secretary Tillerson is the chief diplomat of the United States, and it is his portfolio to handle those issues.
But are you telling me, though, Mr. Gorka, that if there is an action by North Korea that is felt by the United States to be threatening, then that is war? Is that the understanding that the North Koreans should have?
If you threaten a nation, then what should you expect? A stiffly worded letter to be sent by courier? Is that what the UK would do if a nation threatened a nuclear-tipped missile launched against any of the United Kingdom's territory?
I mean, there's a bit of a sleight of hand there, too, right, though? I mean, the BBC guy said a threat that's interpreted by the United States, as opposed to, you know, one that is clearly a threat, I guess.
Donald Trump interprets, you know, sneezing in his direction as a threat. I mean, the guy, you know, I mean, in all seriousness, he's so into the whole macho BS because of his deep insecurities. There are a whole lot of things that he sees as personal threats that are not threats to the United States. That right away becomes a problem. And then you throw in there his lack of understanding, seemingly, of what nuclear war does or anything close to that. But, I mean, you know, even the person here who's delivering the message, I mean, how is it that we're saying we're not going to allow all sorts of people in this country, but we still have Sebastian Gorka here? Can you answer that one?
No.
I mean, this guy is such an absolute jackass. You know, the whole thing where he comes, it'll be nonsensical. I mean, he can't really go on TV. I've never seen him, thankfully I've seen him very few times, go on without just being a jackass to whoever it is he's talking to. I mean, he literally has to be one of the least likable people I've ever heard. And of course, he lied about his call. I mean, whatever. It's the Trump administration. It's not tough.
Well, but what possibly could be the end game here? I mean, I can understand. Well, I mean, look, the Chinese have now said, you know, North Korea, if you initiate an attack and the South Koreans and the United States return, we will not intervene. But they've also said that if South Korea or United States attack, that we will intervene on behalf of the North Koreans there. And
right.
I mean, I guess it's possible they believe at this point that somehow this posture will convince North Korea to give up its nukes. But that, I mean, that's just seems
like
an
utter delusion. Do they really believe that?
Well, I find it hard to believe that they believe it, but I find it hard to believe that they believe a lot of things, frankly.
I mean, can they all be that stupid? I could see Trump being that dumb, but I mean, you know, can they all really be that stupid? Maybe you're right. It's really hard to know with these people what to end, because North Korea is not going to give up their nukes. So the end game either is they end up looking stupid for even trying that, or we get into a nuclear war.
Here's the other theory I have about this. I mean, look, we don't the level of information that we seem to have as to the progress that North Korea has made, you know, specifically that they have now a nuclear weapon that is small enough to travel in a ballistic missile, comes from the Defense Intelligence Agency. I haven't heard of any other agency specifically that has made this point. There is another intelligence agency that's referenced in claiming that they have something about 60 of these weapons. But it's right. Unclear what that agency is from the reporting I've seen. And maybe that reporting has been updated. But the DIA is a has a record of reporting threats that don't exist. And B, this is a report that supposedly was issued several weeks ago by the DIA,
right.
And Donald Trump only brought it up while he was at Bedminster, you know, in between golf rounds. The day after Paul Manafort's, the reports of Paul Manafort's raid come up.
Right.
Now,
well,
I'm not one of those people who always think that he's trying to change the subject. And I think, like, look, I also believe that, like, we should be paying more attention to North Korea right now than Paul Manafort, because that situation's far more precarious. And I don't know what
the FBI seems to have the Paul Manafort situation handled.
Well, that's the thing is I don't understand, like, what, you know, but it seems to me that Donald Trump, maybe he's just anxious. And so he comes off and he shoots off the hip and he says this, and now he can't back down from it. And he says, like, oh, wow, this is drawing attention. I might as well keep doing it, which is probably the most likely explanation. But yeah,
I think it is. He doesn't seem smart enough. Again, I think people give him way too much credit. Oh, he's changing the subject. He's not smart enough to do that. He doesn't plan anything.
Well, he may be changing the subject, but it's irrelevant. Like you say, like,
the best predictor,
that's not going to affect Mueller.
How long Fox and Friends has been over and what he just watched. Because with most of this stuff, like when he tweeted out the crazy stuff about opioids, they just called opioids a national emergency on Fox and Friends like 10 minutes earlier. I mean, that's what feeds most of what he does. It's what he was just watching.
Well, let me just make one counter argument to the idea that, I mean, look, he could be saying something about North Korea to divert attention from Manafort, even if that is a stupid thing to do. And now, you know, whatever addled mind, he could be thinking, like, I got to come up with something else to talk about. Like, I'm not dating somebody. I can't pretend I'm dating a model. Let's see. Oh, I know, North Korea. And here is Stuart Varney. Yes, I know we're scraping the bottom of the barrel, folks, but here is Stuart Varney. Sort of, you know, these things, you never know where these things start. But here he is on Fox Business, sort of like beginning to make the outlines of this. Like, you can't criticize the president in a time of a crisis of his own making. Here it is.
News alert.
Has there ever been a time when the two parties have been as divided as they are now? Has there ever been a time when this country needs unity as much as it needs it now? Let's start with the Democrats. Senators Feinstein and Schumer sharply criticized the president over the language he used on North Korea. Think about this. A rogue foreign power armed with a nuke and a missile delivery system directly threatens to attack America, and the left objects to the president's tone. Ben Rhodes, the architect of President Obama's appeasement policy, calls Mr. Trump a liar. You'd think we'd come together at a time like this, but no. Internally, Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth
Warren...
They spelled divided wrong
on the parties. Divided.
It's divided.
Just like to point out that that's my specialty to notice.
There you go.
It's divided.
You did a great job.
It's total
divided.
Everything's divided.
It's total divided.
Wait, you guys play this thing and I just couldn't hear it?
Okay. No, go ahead. We'll play it now. Here you go.
A time like this, but no. Internally, Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have divided the Democrats over abortion, socialized medicine, energy, and the endless tax the rich idea. That is a pretty big division. As for the Republicans, well, where do you start? The Senate Republican leader openly criticizes the Republican president. Republican John McCain returns to D.C. just in time to sink the Republican health care plan. And if you think there is agreement among Republicans on tax reform, dream on. Is there an adult somewhere in Congress on either side of the aisle who will stand up and say, enough? Obamacare is collapsing and millions are hurting. Fix it. We need economic growth. Get tax cuts done. A lunatic with a nuke is threatening an attack. Unite against him.
Well, I think, to be fair, both parties have criticized Trump. So, but
it's
I mean,
all just as easy as Stuart Varney makes it out.
Well, but my point is that, you know, look, Varney is one of those guys who's a mouthpiece for the Trump administration. And
for hedge fund wealth.
Yes, but I mean, I'm saying if this is the narrative that he wants to create, right, that like this North Korea thing is a crisis, you shouldn't be attacking the president, then at least there's some awareness or, you know, some opportunism in the White House around this. So it just strikes me as I just can't figure out how they think this is going to end. Right. I mean,
that's why I don't believe that it was thought about. I believe that it was something that Trump was watching or was put in front of him and, you know, with like big cartoonish pictures or whatever. And, you know, he off the cuff tweeted something obnoxious in his usual stupid, you know, faux bravado way. And then they, you know, because this is the way it always goes with him. It's not their plan. And then they all have to adjust to whatever it is he said, kind of like with, you know, the banning trans in gender people in the military, where he hadn't talked to anybody about it. He just sort of sent out a tweet because that's what he felt like doing, because I'm sure he'd seen something on TV. I mean, it's the way he always does stuff. It doesn't really matter if it's a matter of national security that could lead to nuclear war, or it's a matter of discrimination against a group of people. He just tweets out whatever the hell he feels like and whatever he just was watching. And so then they all have to adjust and try to say, no, that was serious. He meant to say kofebe. That was planned.
Right.
You know? And everybody, I mean, that's what this has been the pattern over and over again with these guys. So I think he's basically just created a crisis out of nothing.
Well,
and they're all adjusting, and some of them want to sound tougher. And, you know, and then Lindsey Graham plays the usual role of Lindsey Graham and talks about nuclear war. And other people try to say this is crazy and back away from it. And everybody falls into their roles.
Well, I'll tell you, Lindsey Graham has made the point repeatedly that some type of war, military action against North Korea, basically is, you know, the costs are all going to be borne by the North Koreans. Here's an example of, on the Sean Hannity show, retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Thomas McNerney. I don't know if he's a Fox News contributor type guy, but is he? Yeah, here he is basically arguing like, look, casualty is not so much an issue because it's just going to be them.
Get this one, Sean. Declare any missile launches from North Korea have to be, we say are hostile, because of what Kim Jong-un said about attacking Guam, and we will hit them as a target before they get airborne. He must make sure that we will no longer tolerate that he launch any more missiles because of his declaration to hit Guam, and we don't know where they're going to go until they've been in the air for a while. So we have no choice. And by the way, if one artillery round comes out of North Korea onto Seoul, he gets our full nuclear retaliatory capability. Make sure he understands that. That artillery is no longer valid, because when we retaliate, we're going to retaliate with nuclear weapons.
But when I say no good option, and I want to get to General Patterson in a second, when I say no good option, if we have to strike, even if we have a coalition of the willing, if we have to strike, we're going to incinerate that place. The nuclear fallout, correct me if I'm wrong, even if we'd use, you know, bunker bombs and other technologies, is the fallout potential is dramatic. I mean, potentially, am I right or overstating the fact that millions could potentially die here?
Yeah, but they'll be mostly North Koreans.
What about South Koreans? What about the Japanese? What about nuclear fallout making its way to China?
You can contain that. Look how many.
How do you contain nuclear fallout, though? How do you do that?
Well, you contain it with shield. Air bursts and the size of the weapons. Look how many weapons we dropped on Japan. And we were in there weeks later.
Okay, let me.
I'm not saying it's not going to be a problem, but it's a problem that we can handle compared to the nuclear weapons hitting U.S. cities.
So, but they're going to be North Koreans. So
you know.
Remember, the reason, the problem we have with this guy, too, is how he represses his own people, right?
Right, so we should just murder them all. It's easier for them. You know that when Sean Hannity is the voice of reason in any broadcast,
yeah,
you've entered a screwed up place. I mean, seriously, Sean Hannity actually was sounding reasonable there. This guy's a sociopath, clearly. He doesn't care. And again, I'm not a military guy, but I don't know what the hell he's talking about. I have actually like studied science and stuff. I'm not sure where he thinks that the fallout is going to be contained. And somehow is not going to reach South Korea and is not going to reach Japan. Not to mention the fact that, what is he talking about? Even if we nuke them, they've got these artillery bunkers deep in the mountains, basically not very far from Seoul and overlooking it. I mean, if we have nuclear weapons headed in their direction, if they just unload everything on Seoul, so, and I'm not saying, you know, killing that many North Koreans isn't unacceptable or any, because it is, unless it were a last-ditch attempt to defend ourselves. But, I mean, you know, you can pretend that people aren't going to, there's not going to be mass killing of people in Seoul is ridiculous. I mean, I don't know, man. Where do they find these people?
I don't, you know, it's where do these people, like, who's listening to these people is what's the really scary part in my mind. But
and that's Trump. Because he's watching Hannity if he's not on it, and that's where he's learning his stuff from. Well, it's not Fox and Friends, it's Hannity.
You know, that raises, there was a release today, I mean, just to sort of pivot into the type of people surrounding Donald Trump, there was a release today of the National Security memo, I mean, from the National Security Council. Those guys right. who got fired... it was Watkins,
Rich Higgins
and that other guy, Watkins something. And yeah. I don't know if you've read it. It is insane.
I think we're not doing people a service unless we actually read them a passage of it, which I do have here.
Oh, you do have one of that? Which passage are you going to read?
So this is the one from Higgins.
Right.
Arguing about the domestic enemies of Donald Trump and what needs to be done to them.
All right, read it.
We ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. I'll try my. I can't do Morgan Freeman, folks, but we'll try here. Culturally conditioned to limit responses to such attacks as yet another round in the ongoing drone from diversity and multicultural malcontents, these broadsides are discounted as political correctness run amok. However, political correctness is a weapon against reason and critical thinking. This weapon functions as the enforcement mechanism of diversity narratives to seek to implement cultural Marxism. Candidate Trump's rhetoric in the campaign not only cut through the Marxist narrative, he did so in ways that were viscerally comprehensible to a voting bloc that then they made candidate Trump president, making that bloc self-aware in the process. President Trump is either the, whatever. I can go on the whole point.
No, that is exactly the paragraph that I have highlighted as well.
And then with the last part of it, actually, here's the, I mean, just, I'll skip all that crap. Here's, for this cabal, Trump must be destroyed. Far from politics as usual, you know, like going after the president for a blowjob, which is politics as usual. This is a political warfare effort that seeks the destruction of a sitting president, which has never been done by the GOP. I threw that part in there. I mean, you know, it's sort of just this crazy tripe this guy's trying to use to justify, essentially, and he was hired by Michael Flynn. I know that'll shock everybody. Going after the, quote, global corporatists and bankers.
That's well, I can tell you that the term cultural Marxism, it goes back quite a ways. In 2003, there was a Southern Poverty Law Center piece about cultural Marxism catching on. And it just, the first paragraph, Pat Buchanan says it's being used to de-Christianize America. And William Lind claims it's turning U.S. college campuses into ivy-covered North Koreas. retired Naval Commander Gerald Atkinson fears it's invaded the nation's military academies, and immigration activist John Vinson suggests it aims to distort and destroy our country. It is described as a conspiratorial attempt to wreck American culture and morality. And this is going to come as a shock to you, Cliff, but it is tied into a lot of the Frankfurt School and a bunch of Jews who came over in Columbia University.
How many different things can we say here? Global corporatists, bankers, Marx. Like, let's all the fill-in words for Jews.
But awesome. Nevertheless, I mean, these guys are on the National Security Council. And one more thing that stuck out to me, the conclusion, right? Supposedly this made it to Donald Trump's desk sometime after it's being written in May and it's released today. Or I should say, from when McMaster fired these guys, which was, what was it, a week ago now, right? Week or two ago.
Yeah, I think about that, yeah.
When he got wind of this memo. But it went directly to the president's desk. Here's the conclusion. The recent turn of events give rise to the observation that the defense of President Trump is the defense of America, in the same way President Lincoln was surrounded by political opposition both inside and outside his wire. In both overt and covert form, so too is President Trump. Had Lincoln failed, so too would have the Republic. It was sometime in July, presumably after he saw this memo, that he started comparing himself to Lincoln. So
it already obviously was affecting him. And again, then that's kind of the point I was making earlier, whether it's tweets or it doesn't really matter if it's in a tweet, any policy pronouncement. I mean, and this has been said about Trump forever, that the last person he talked to is what he thinks.
Yep.
He's not a smart person. He's not the negotiator he thinks he is. And it's very easy for these guys to manipulate him. And most of them, albeit while being a little bit crazy, are smart enough to know that. So, I mean, you know, throw a bunch of this, you know, claptrap into a memo and give it to Trump. And who knows what the hell he's doing? And, you know, again, there are people just as big lunatics as these two guys. I give you Sebastian Gorka, for example, that are still there and still have the president's ear and probably still running ridiculous memos like this.
All right,
that's
what
you're dealing with.
That also, since we're talking a little bit about culture in the right wing, this is just too juicy not to talk about. Apparently, September Vogue cover has been released. And it is Jennifer Lawrence taken on a picture of her taken on one of the ferries that go around New York City with the Statue of Liberty in the background. And Breitbart's, one of the editors there, John Carney, who is the guy who came from the Wall Street Journal, right? I think.
I know.
And he was the guy who was supposedly like, providing the prestige.
Some sanity, maybe?
Yeah, the prestige. He tweeted out the following tweet, picture of the Vogue title, and then he wrote, "We're going to have to create a full MAGA shadow cultural industry because the opposition media can't even do fashion without attacking us."
Right, showing the Statue of Liberty is attacking them. which really tells you what you need to know about them. They're very American. I mean, what else is now?
Well, somebody wrote...
Would showing the Emancipation Proclamation, would that be an attack on them too?
Somebody wrote to Carney on Twitter and said, where is the attack here? And Carney wrote back, really? So you think they just coincidentally decided to put up one of the most beautiful women in America next to the Statue of Liberty? It's clearly an allusion to our current immigration debate, taking the poem, hashtag poem law side. That is the side of people who think that the poem on the base of the Statue of Liberty supposedly is law. Now, John Carney, who's supposedly a rational human being, apparently doesn't know about lead time when it comes to photo shoots for magazines. If they're doing the cover, that thing was taken months ago.
Many months ago, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. And B, Jennifer Lawrence is not an immigrant. If you wanted to, the whole lead is American Beauty. And if you wanted to promote...
If you wanted to do immigration, put Melania Trump on there.
Well, you would put anybody who's an immigrant.
Right. I'm just having fun. These people are too much. There's too much crazy. Well, that's the thing. And so this is their persecuted mentality, which is why, I mean, you know, you can't show anything anymore. You know, whatever it was, it would be an attack on them. Because it has to be explicitly conservative, white, male, Christian, heterosexual, rural, and everything else for it to not be an attack on them. Next time they'll be like, they're showing a picture of New York City? That's an attack on us.
It's just an extension of the white the aggrievement that conservatives yep. the white aggrievement sometimes, but it's also just sort of conservative aggrievement. You know, this is the essence of Breitbart. And then they go on to say, seriously, I think we could do really well with a at Breitbart News fashion. Lots of women who would like their fashion without leftism.
Who would these fashionistas be?
I don't think
on the right?
Fashion, women,
just
or
prats,
leftism
just show
are
it.
What John Carney thinks it is. But
there's a lot that's clearly not what John Carney thinks it is. He's taken a long path away from the Wall Street Journal, which already their editorial page is a little bit crazy. But we're in a different territory now.
By far, Cliffy. Always a pleasure, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, folks.
Mick Master was like, this memo is triggering me, so you're going to need to be fired. I think the military in this administration are the ones that are like, guys, there's a social context behind race, and I don't think that you really understand how race is performed in this country.
I just like to say that is a huge coup for Vogue because the September issue is the most important of the year. Now people are talking about it.
Being mentioned by John Carney?
Well, people are talking. I mean, it was all over Twitter last night. People will
because of conservatives?
Because it's just on people's radar. Yeah, I mean, I guess people that normally wouldn't.
I'm directing the new fashion issue for Breitbart. Just work it, girl. Do it in a completely non-ideological, non-Islamo-PC way. The alpha men are back. And we want girls and
more medals, please. More medals.
Oh my God, do you see the swastika shape on that jacket? Just simply looks smashing.
You love it. All right, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, Judy Gold.
Small within me dies. Can't say it fits.
We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, when I tell people in the office that our next guest is going to be on today, they all individually, I told each one of the people in this office individually that our next guest is going to be on. They all had the same reaction. Excitement. Thank God.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It was just, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Just so you know, I'm loaded and I'm ready to go. Loaded. I'm loaded. You know, if he did get loaded, maybe he'd fucking make some sense. Okay? It's
Judy Gold, folks.
Oh, hey, sorry. Hi, I'm loaded. I'm loaded. What's up? Ready to go? Battleship. I sunk your battleship.
We knew there would be this element to the Trump presidency, but it's it's unbelievable that America has had to exist this week contemplating the idea of an unnecessary nuclear war.
First of all, you knew he was going to do this because when he had the meeting at the White House after he unfairly won the presidency, he talked about was how do I do the nuclear? Why hasn't anyone used this nuclear code? What? He's a fucking 2-year-old baby. He wants loyalty from everyone, and then he disses everyone like McConnell and. Fuck you. He's so disgusting. And you know what? Look at the two of them and their fucking hair. They're both the same person, Kim Jong-un and this one. They have shitty hair. They're immature. They're fucking assholes. Like, I can't believe that. Get him out of there. Get him out. I don't understand. What about the emoluments clause? Like, why is he allowed to do anything he fucking wants? I'm locked and loaded, baby.
You really are. I mean, I told you.
Okay, oh, sorry.
Are your kids freaking out at all?
Yeah. What the fuck? Like, who? He so doesn't understand diplomacy. There's nothing smart about him. He's such a fucking idiot. He's an idiot. I can't take him. And Bannon. Fuck you, Bannon, you fucking asshole. Kelly hates Bannon now. That's good.
Wait, did Kelly not hate... Oh.
There's a lot of Kellys going around. Oh, I think she's talking about
Kelly.
The general and not...
Oh, John Kelly.
Yeah.
The person on this
yeah,
show.
John
it doesn't
Kelly.
Matter.
Yeah, hates,
how do you know John Kelly hates Bannon?
I have some... I heard there's some infighting.
Really? Yep. Wait, you have back channels
into the... You have sources inside the White House, Judy? Yes.
Well, not really, but I read it. So I heard that's the new fight, Bannon and Kelly.
Really?
I
mean, I know McMaster's been going at it, but Kelly I wasn't so clear on.
Yeah, I that's what I heard.
They both share a deep loathing for Hispanics, it seems to me.
Say that again?
They both share a loathing for Hispanics.
And others.
Yeah.
Who do you think has worse hair, Kim Jong-un or Fuckhead?
Trump. He has to, glue it over to the other side.
Fuckhead wins.
Well,
how dare you compare our hair? We are doing First Strike Guam, Judy.
Okay. Well, I think I'm in love with Jeffrey Lord. I think I want to marry him. He's really hot.
My understanding is he goes home and he takes care of his 96-year-old wife.
I know. I said something. I said, oh, he's never been married and he lives with his mother. And now he's a Nazi. And, you know, of course, I say that and they're like, his mother has Alzheimer's.
Wait,
like,
does he really live with his mom? That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
But it's always like, you're an asshole because his mother has Alzheimer's. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, okay. It was unfair of you to give his mother Alzheimer's.
That was very rude, Judy. Some of us have to take care of our mothers.
I gave it to her. Yep, I gave it to her. He's fucking golfing and starting a war. I mean, like, seriously.
Yeah, it's insane.
But what about the put it on my desk, I would have signed it. Shut the fuck up. Read a goddamn book, you
fucking asshole.
That I gotta say, I really do enjoy the Mitch McConnell Donald Trump
fight. Oh, I'm
loving
that.
Apparently, they spoke on the phone, and it got a little heated. And McConnell was like, "I'm not going to, I'm not backing down." Here is Trump whining about. Listen to Donald Trump whining about Mitch McConnell. Here he is.
I just want him to get repeal and replace done. I've been hearing repeal and replace now for 7 years, but I've only been doing this for 2 years, and I've really only been doing this for 6 months, but I've been running. So now it's almost 2 years, and all I hear is repeal and replace. And then I get there, and I said, where's the bill? I want to sign it first day, and they don't have it. And they passed repeal and replace, but they never had a president, frankly, or a Senate that was going to do it. But they never had a president, so it didn't matter. So I say very simply, where is repeal and replace? Now I want tax reform and tax cuts. We're going to reduce taxes for the people. We pay more tax than anybody in the world, and we're going to reduce taxes. So I say tax cuts, tax reform, and I want a very big infrastructure bill where we're working on that very hard already, and we can do that. And we may even get bipartisan on infrastructure, but we want to have it. But I said, Mitch, get to work and let's get it done. They should have had this last one done. They lost by one vote. For a thing like that to happen is a disgrace. And frankly, it shouldn't have happened. That I can tell you. It shouldn't have happened.
Oh, God, he's so brilliant. And his sentence structure is, I mean, like, and he makes nouns out of verbs and verbs out of nouns. Like, he's just a fucking, oh, my God. Yeah, I said to him, I said, you know, I've been doing this 6 months, but I've been really doing it for 2 years. He's a fucking asshole. You know, that's what I said to him.
What do you think is going on in his brain? What do you think is going on in his brain where he's like, I want to be accurate, but I want to be too accurate, but then I'm going to go back to the non-accurate one.
Yeah, but they didn't have a president. Yeah, we didn't have a president, asshole. We didn't have a president. That's so true.
Does it sound good if I stood by 7 years? Or I've only been here for 6 months, but then I'll count 2 years.
I've been here, but it's like 2 years. But I mean, I've been talking about it, and they've been talking about it. It's like, why isn't it on my desk? Why isn't it on my desk? Why? Because you don't even have a desk, you fucking asshole. Put it on your golf cart, you fuckhead. I can't take it. He's driving me crazy. You don't understand my blood pressure. I have to sleep with the phone in the other room because if I get a CNN alert, I get fucking crazy. He's horrible. He's such
put the alerts
an idiot.
On silent.
So stupid.
So hateful, yeah, Judy. So hateful.
I'm sorry.
So hateful.
He's
so
doing
unfair.
Such a, I mean, the only fun part is Don Jr. now, you know, has to live in a hole. Okay.
Yeah, that's.
That's a good one. You know, this him yelling at McConnell, I fucking love. John McCain's thumbs down was one of the greatest moments of my life. It looks like one vote. Shut the fuck up. He doesn't even do anything. Where's your wall, asshole?
That's a good point. It's actually
not that important, but it is from a public sense. Did you read the transcript with the Mexican president, Judy?
Oh, the really good conversation they had?
Yeah, the really good. And he said when he called New Hampshire a drug den. And then he's like, hey, look, it doesn't matter about the wall per se, but in a certain sense, I need to talk about it so it's helpful politically.
Yeah.
Yes.
He has no understanding. What about how he gets a 25-page thing about how great he is every morning? I want that.
I want that, too. I've asked for it, and nobody's responding around here.
I got nothing. Yeah, why does anyone hand me a, like, you look so great, you look so thin in this picture. Oh, God, Judy, you're so beautiful and smart. Like, why can't I get that every morning? The guy is mentally fucking ill. Like, he's gone beyond Nixon. It's beyond. And what is going on?
Well, Nixon had a certain intelligence in a certain sense.
Whatever. What about Roger Stone? He's a fucking asshole, too.
Well, he's always been a fucking asshole.
Did you see the documentary?
Yeah.
Judy,
he's
how are your kids dealing with this? I'm curious, because Milo's starting to freak out a little
Ben
bit.
Ben is worried.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little one's worried. Okay.
We should tell people. He's like, what, 16 now? The little one?
Ben is 16. He's 6'6". He's a little worried. Henry's going to be 21. He went to see the Michael Moore play, which he really liked. And, you know, he said, you know, like when you're 21 and he's like, oh, come on, nothing's going to happen. You know, like everything's like that. I don't have to wear a bicycle helmet. Mommy, you have to wear a bicycle helmet because if you get hit, you'll die. If I get hit, I won't die. That's what he says to me.
And I'm sure he understands how it works.
Yeah. No, because my head is in better shape than... It's like, shut the fuck up.
Many people are saying that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Don just tweeted at me, when is Donald Trump releasing his summer reading list like Obama did? that would be good.
Crippled America, number one.
That would be fucking great. Can you believe that we have to talk to our children about war?
It's
because his dick and hands are so tiny.
It really is disturbing. And, you know, and the thing is that, like, I don't feel 100% confident in telling her that it's, although I guess if it's, there's going to be a war that's actually going to impact us, I'm not going to probably have to be around to justify it to her. Right. But, you know, I mean, how do you say, like, well, look, you're going to be perfectly safe. Though there is an outside chance that he's going to trigger something that's going to end up killing hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions.
Right. Right. And, you know, I was booked at the Guam Comedy Hut, and I had to cancel.
You're not going to go? Really?
I'm not going. I can't go. I can't go.
You're not going to provide?
I'm just really upset about it. I'm really upset.
You're not going to gig. Chuckles and Soul either.
Well, you know what? Why don't we take Dennis Rodman and send him to Guam?
Wouldn't
that protect maybe the island?
Maybe. Actually, did you know, Judy, that we don't even have an ambassador to South Korea? Did you know that?
No, yes, I did know that. Yes, I did. Because God forbid he should make appointments, you know?
Well,
yes, I did.
After our bombing.
We don't have a Secretary of the Navy. We don't have a Secretary of the Navy. Okay?
Hey, you don't need it.
That's why we can't keep track of those boats.
Isn't that good in a sense?
We're just sending missiles. The good thing about not having a South Korean ambassador is when we bomb North Korea and North Korea bombs South Korea, we don't have to hear about it.
Yeah.
There'll be no one there to tell us.
Where's the information?
No, yeah. But also, you know, China, really, what are they doing? China needs to take care of it. China.
China was like, could you please stop doing this? It's fucking everything up.
I know.
So,
and his ties are made in China. Go ahead.
What?
They smell like China. Did you know his ties smell like China?
I was not fully.
How do you know how his ties smell?
I just heard from someone who fucked him. Yeah, go ahead.
Did you really?
No.
Do you know anybody?
It's a total lie.
I have heard stories.
They smell like a vodka's China.
Wait a second. I want to hear about these stories.
No, I'm not allowed to say, but I have been told it's tiny.
All right, let me ask you this. Are they, these stories, do they all involve women?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, from people that have met him. Yeah, absolutely. And he's so, you know what? He is so good for women. He really is. He's so respectful, and you know, I was just thinking, God is on his side, you know, and if he wants to start a nuclear war, God wants him to. God.
Well, I mean,
did you read that evangelical guy who said, "Yeah"?
Oh yeah, no, he said it on Fox News, right? Isn't he like a Fox News contributor?
Yeah, Fox News. Yeah,
focus
Fox
on
News.
Faith.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So now there's Trump news, there's Fox news, and there's fake news. Here's what I've decided fake news is. You want to know what fake news is?
What's that?
When I'm having a fight with Elisa, my girlfriend, anything she says during that fight is fake news.
I love it. How does she respond to? Do you, I hope you say like when she says when she has
every time
an
we're
issue
fighting,
with you,
and she's like, but you did blah blah blah. I'm like, that's fake news. That didn't happen. I'm just going to use fake news the way you know.
How does she react when you say that?
She hangs up on me.
You know, in my experience, Judy, that's not a very productive way of having an adult relationship.
I'm sorry, Donald. I'm sorry. And Melania is so in love with him. You can just see the, you know.
I love this man.
Love. He's doing a wonderful job. And, you
but
know,
any sympathy for her.
When I marry him, I make arrangements. And I did not know he would be president. It was a big hoax. But I'm going to get a lot of money after. And I know I look Asian because I've had my eyes pulled. I actually have strings behind my eyes, and he pulls me. All right. So I guess I'm not that funny today because
I'm so angry. I think the anger
I'm
is
loaded.
Very pathetic.
I'm locked and loaded, bitches. Locked and loaded. Like, who the fuck says that? He must play video games all day long. Fire and Fury, Locked and Loaded. I mean, what is that shit?
I wish I had an answer. I think it's I don't understand it really, to be honest with you. It seems to me that he gets feedback from some place. Maybe it's Gorka. Maybe it's Bannon.
Oh,
maybe
I love
it's
his Gorka.
Facebook feed.
He made a large donation to our synagogue, Gorka.
Oh, my God.
And he also donated a Torah to our local synagogue, Gorka. So I really enjoy him. I mean, he's another fucking Nazi. Bannon and Gorka. Fucking
yeah.
Assholes. Go ahead, sorry.
No,
well,
I mean,
at least Mitch McConnell's attractive. I mean, like, if a woman was that unattractive and was head of the Senate, do you know the shit she would get?
It would be relentless.
I mean, he is one of the homeliest people I have ever seen in my entire life.
He is uniquely unattractive. And
like,
to be fair, also on the inside.
Yeah. Yes.
It
but
oozes
it's
out.
It's just like, how do you wake up, look in the mirror, and he's disgusting.
Do you think Donald Trump knows that that McConnell's wife is in the cabinet? Do you think that Trump even realizes that Elaine Chao is married to him?
Yeah, I'm sure that's how she got it.
I totally forgot about it.
What did Elaine Chao say about what? Like, what is she? Like, she's not unattractive on the outside.
I don't know that anyone could be as unattractive as Mitch McConnell. I mean,
He is so ugly. Sorry.
Yeah, guys, that's absolutely right. He's disgusting. By the way, I saw a dog the other day, and I said, he actually looks worse. This dog looks better than Mitch McConnell. I said that, and other people said it, too. It was incredible.
Yeah. I'd say Mitch McConnell is a three. I'd say he's a three. A three.
Mitch McConnell?
A three. Oh, no, he's a 2.2.
No, he's like a one, maybe.
He's definitely a one. I mean, look.
It's like worst case scenario person you go home
with. There are people
with
skin diseases that are way more attractive than him.
Again, Judy's nailing it. Do you want to come to the golf course?
Missing like eyes, burn victims. So much more attractive than that fucking asshole.
And burn victims are losers, too.
Because they did it to themselves.
They did it to themselves.
Here's how we're going to end.
I like my victims
crisis.
Who did not. Yeah. I like my victims
here's
who didn't
how you
burn
end
themselves.
It. Just don't do it. Just don't start. And then you won't have to stop if you just don't. You're such a fucking idiot.
You know
it kind of sounds like logic,
We save this for you, Judy. Matt. There were people like asking this question, and so Matt asked our audience if they had ever seen Donald Trump laugh. And
no, I've said that. I've said that. He has no sense of humor. The Trumpians have no sense of humor. They take themselves so seriously. They're too dumb to make a joke because you have to be smart to make a joke. You have to actually look at something from another perspective. So they're fucking idiots. Go ahead.
Well, we found a clip of Donald Trump laughing.
No way.
It's going to not make you you're not going to enjoy it.
Okay, go ahead.
But here it is. This is at a rally or a speech, right? Is Matt? Is it? It's not a full on rally because it must be some type of sort of a press conference, but it's some type of small speech because he's behind a.
Okay.
But there is an audience, so because that's where something from the audience makes him laugh. Hold on, we'll wait for these sirens to go by. I was going to say, someone already called the EMTs because you may
supposed to be eating lunch and I came outside.
You may need an EMT after this. Here is Donald Trump. This was during the campaign at one point, right, Matt? Sometime in August, maybe? All right. Well, here it is.
Is that a dog?
Hillary.
It's Hillary.
Oh, that was it. That was not a big laugh, actually.
No, by his standards.
That's as big as it gets.
Oh, that's funny because I'm so attractive. Oh, because I'm so hot. Fuck you, you fucking piece of shit. Is that funny? Because a dog is unattractive, and so then you could call Hillary a dog.
He really seemed to find that funny.
That was amazing. You know, a lot of people say that the country isn't creative anymore, and we're so arrogant in New York and California with our coastal elitism. And then you go out, and this guy goes, Hillary looks like a dog. I mean, that's comedic genius.
And it's so classy. Yeah, he's so classy.
I genuinely was not expecting footage like even that small laugh to come through as a sign of maybe, I don't know. Some people say sociopathy.
Oh, that's a funny one. That's second grade. Okay, on the playground, oh, you're a dog. That is the fucking arrested development of this fucking disgusting with that fucking hair. How about how many times he doesn't know he gets off the plane and then wanders around the tarmac like a fucking idiot?
Well, I'm going senile. That's a little tasteless, Judy.
For real. No, I mean, he is watching that clip from him the other day from... I forget what show it was, but from 1999 and just
Meet the Press
and just how many more, I mean, his vocabulary was never great, but just how much more capable of expressing himself. And, you know, his vocabulary increased by about 20 words or so was disturbing.
Is that true?
Yeah, it was
still a massive asshole, but he did seem a little bit more on the ball.
He's still a huge moron, but the decline in his cognitive abilities is just, it's even more scary than everything else. It has already made me scared, so
I can't, you knew he was going to start a war because the whole Russia thing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so, all right, can I go eat my Cobb salad? Because it's my last meal. Hey, what are our last meals going to be?
I
say we go out for, I would go out for Asian fusion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
An Asian fusion all right. Well, I see.
I guess we got a new Korea. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Go out. We'll go out. Yeah.
Steve's really into it.
What are you telling your kids?
Yeah. I'm just saying, let's spend all the money we have. Eat whatever you want. You don't have to go to school. No, I just say it's not going to happen. But there's a part of me that's like, I can't fucking... Someone's got to be able to stop. Someone's got to be able to stop him. I don't understand it.
It's messed up. But Judy, nobody expresses the anger and the frustration better than you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think he has ruined this country. He's so jealous of Obama because Obama's popular and cool and hip and smart, and he's none of those things.
He's black. Okay? I think I'm doing okay.
It is pretty jarring to go back and listen to one of Obama's like speeches. Like even right. You know, I was going around. Somebody had said that Obama said we will destroy you to North Korea, and in fact, he was with Charlie Rose, and he said, "Look, we could." Annihilate North Korea, but we don't want to do that. There's moral problems and there's obviously practical problems.
Type of fire and fury that you've never seen before. All right, now back on the golf course. By the way, I thought the North Korean leader was pathetic, sad. And I told Harry Reid, there's legislation, put it on my desk. I've been like doing this for a while and stuff.
I know, it's been 7 years, bitches. 7 years. I said to John Boehner, put the repeal and the replace on my desk.
That's like the Rush Limbaugh, Avis and Andy impression. Yeah. And Rush Limbaugh goes, here's an impression of Obama. And he goes, now looky here. Obamacare's is a good.
Oh, Jesus. The fucking asshole. I don't believe in gay marriage. He's four fucking marriages, you fucking asshole.
And not to mention whatever he does on the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, indeed.
So
how about the climate change people had to put out the report?
Had to leak the draft.
Assholes back.
Yeah, good for them. Good for them. I mean, I think that's what leaks are for.
I think, you know, everyone gave him a few, you know, they gave him a few months, like, okay. And now everyone's like, okay, this is ridiculous.
What are you doing these days, Judy?
I'm playing a lot of tennis. I'm in Provincetown actually till the end of the summer doing stand up.
Are you doing Just Kill Me?
And I'm going on the road. Yeah, I'm doing stand up. I love stand up. And my podcast, Kill Me Now.
Kill Me Now.
And yeah, and
are you doing that from there, or did you pre-record it?
I pre-recorded the next 4 weeks.
Nice.
But I'm playing golf. Playing a lot of golf. But I'm still working. I'm still taking calls.
It's a working vacation.
Yeah, it's a working vacation. It's a working vacation. I'm taking calls. You know, just because I'm here, you know, doesn't mean I'm not working or eating. I'm a fat fuck. Have you seen me? All right.
Go eat your Cobb salad.
I love you guys.
Judy Gold,
thank you so much. To talk to you again.
Honestly.
As soon as possible.
Anytime.
Always wants to.
I can fucking hate him. All right.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye, Judy.
Love you guys. All right. Call me before the war so we can all go out to eat.
All right. Good. Let's do that. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Judy Gold, ladies and gentlemen. Kill Me Now is her podcast available through iTunes.
It's Please Kill Me.
Please Kill Me? Why do I keep saying Kill Me Now?
Because you want someone to kill you? I don't know.
Please Kill Me. All right. Fair enough.
Jesus Christ.
Please Kill Me.
She always nails it.
All right, folks. Oh wow, we'll go into the fun half. We're actually, you know, sort of almost on time. Do we have a Jimmy Reef Cake song?
No. We do not.
All right, so it's time. Let's play that. We have another entry on the fun half Diddy song. This one is considerably less hip hop oriented. What's that? Yeah, Michael, did you forward that to Matt?
No, I didn't see any. I thought you already
We forwarded it yesterday, remember? It was two yesterday? Michael, the one that...
Hold on.
What I'm talking about?
I think so.
I got it. Here it is.
Steve?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Here it comes, Matt. I'm sending it to you now. Matt doesn't check his emails from us. That's what
I know. Yeah, All three of us sent it to him.
I did not get this one. I'm looking at it right now.
I'm sending it right now. Matt is getting pissed.
Matt is getting a little testy about it. He's quick on the trigger.
Let's be honest.
Because no one ever criticizes him.
What did he say?
He said, why should they?
If I don't put my subject line in all caps with Matt, he will not open my email.
Me too.
He won't do it.
A lot of times I'm like, please open this email. Oh my God, please, with all caps and exclamation points.
Sometimes you go to that once too often. I think that's the problem. You hit that fast.
No, I only reserve it for special occasions.
How many times have you done it?
Maybe two. I'll put the whole point of the email in. in the subject line.
Have
usually.
You ever heard the fable of the producer who cried wolf?
Yes, I have. But no, really.
Yes, I have.
Fair enough.
Hey, Matt, I think I deserve some measure of credit for pretty much never emailing you. I know.
Yeah,
how,
but you text
I know
them
how this
all
game
night
is
long.
All night long.
Yeah, that sounded a little weird.
We need a sound drop for that. All
wait,
night long. I love when Sam gets delayed on his soundboard, but he's still satisfied with himself.
No, I'm gonna
put on my soundboard. The Perry Mason
this is,
music.
This is like the.
I had an outburst.
When?
Like just now because. Wait, what well, because I said you texted him all night long, and I'm. I feel like that was a gross exaggeration, and I'm not positive of.
Well, he seemed defensive enough about it to want
oh,
to make
do that.
It about.
I don't do that.
Soundboard.
I don't do that.
I'm just saying you seemed. I didn't say
no. I don't.
I said you seemed.
Let's go to the
defensive
fun half.
About it.
Let's stop it.
That you actually
we have a song. Now Matt's getting defensive about it too. I don't think any of us.
Oh, did you just did his
fake
own
yawn? Fake yawn?
I just did a fake yawn.
That's pretty good. Michael, he's really growing up since his new show is on.
No, everything's just getting so mixed up. He's making, doing parodies of himself now.
I know. Look at that. Isn't that wonderful?
He's growing. Hello.
I actually had a moment. I had another moment. Like I had another moment like that today when Saul referred to something that happened yesterday. Like he now understands. He doesn't say other day. He said, like, he's gotten specific with time. The same, that's two in one day for me.
Maybe he can teach our president.
Watch Michael do his own fake yawn, making fun of his own yawn. All right, so this is, Steve has sent this in. It is the next round of submissions on Diddy. Folk, just a reminder, this show relies on your membership to survive. It is, memberships make up a... 94% of our revenue. And there's, you know, we have people who have to drop out because of financial reasons. And if you are one of those people who don't have any financial constraints at the moment and can support this show, please do so. Head over to jointhemajorityreport.com. And as a way of saying thank you, we give you some premium material every single entire day. Yes.
I've made an error.
Yes.
It is Kill Me Now with Judy Gold.
Jesus. Wow.
Please Kill Me is a book about, it's a history of punk rock.
Uh-huh. Okay. So. Thank you. Kill Me Now. And so join the majority
you're
report.
You're so proud of yourself being right. Good for you, Sam. I'm proud
I'm not
of you,
proud.
Too. Like you're
you
proud
are
of
dwelling on it more. I was just actually
I just
want
to make sure everyone knows that what to look for.
I don't feel like it's terribly important it'll be in the story notes. Kill Me Now is the actual name of the podcast, not what Kelly said. It's not a big deal. We don't need to dwell on it. She made a real point of correcting me. With wrong information. jointhemajorityreport.com. Is that right? Oh, and folks, don't forget justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code majority, get 10% off. And if you buy your crap through Amazon or jet.com, do so through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. Here is that ditty by listener Steve.
Jam and jelly. That's what I like. Sam and Kelly, Matt and Mike. You've heard the interview and it's time for a snack. It's the
fun half. Fun half.
Peanut butter, high in calories. Slice of white bread, rich and floury. The world is blue and I need a good laugh. It's the
fun half. That definitely had like the AM radio feel.
It's like a Rush song.
It was a little
like
bit.
Spirit of the Radio or something.
Yeah. That's right. All right, folks. Take a quick break. We'll be right back for the fun half. 646-257-3920 is the number. We'll be right back.
No, 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 no. Things are looking bad.